You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
God is so good. I just got back from a global missions conference in Des Moines, Iowa. I'm part of a ministry fellowship there. There's about 2,500 members from 50 nations around the world that are part of that fellowship, and about 20 of those nations were represented, I would say, at this conference, and it was just good to see what God is doing and hear what God's doing in the nations of the world. God is active around the world, but how many of you know He's working right here in the United States as well? And that was one of the themes we kept hearing through the conference, even though this organization is very missions-oriented, very foreign field thinking. The recurring theme was that God's doing it in America. God is changing the church and the status quo here in the United States. And we're going to begin to see some things happen that have been a long time coming, things that haven't happened, things we haven't seen for many years recently. But let's go over to Mark chapter 2. You know, as I was asked to share the word today, and I guess short notice you could say, but we're always ready in season and out of season. And I began to meditate on what the Lord would have me share. And I do have a message, but I don't have an outline. Now, I'm an outline guy. And it wasn't because I didn't try to get an outline. It wouldn't fit into an outline. So I think this will be just more of an encouragement, more of an exhortation. But I know that the Holy Spirit has a word for us. And that it comes out of that secret place with God. Amen. But as we go to Mark chapter 2, you're all very familiar with this story, I'm sure. The life and ministry of Jesus as He's ministering there in Capernaum. Many were gathered together, it says in verse 2, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And He preached the word to them. Then they came to Him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. Now, the thing I want to draw your attention to initially is the fact that Jesus was there preaching the word. His power was working to heal. And there were four men. Say four men. Four people. Four people that saw the need of this paralyzed man. Those four men were the reason that this miracle happened that day. These four men. We look at the paralytic, but I want to draw your attention to these four men and remind us that it's you and I that can bring people to Jesus, that can bring Him, bring the people to where He is, to bring those that are suffering and in need and they're hurting and they need answers and they need a miracle in their life. It's you and I that Jesus is calling to bring those people to Him, to bring them to where He is at work, like in a church service, just like this one. There's so many people in our lives that need to experience what Jesus is doing in a place like this. And these four men noticed that man. Now, it doesn't really tell us a lot about these four men. We don't know the acquaintance that they had with him prior to this. But it just drops us right into the middle of this story. It says, when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. Now, you have to imagine there was some persistence there. How many of you have ever done roofing before? Maybe on your own house or maybe as an occupation or side job. But if you've ever done roofing, I've done a little bit, that's not something you do passively. You don't do passive roofing. These guys didn't get up there and sneeze a hole through the roof. No, it took some doing, and I'm sure they didn't bring tools with them. Maybe Jesus, with his carpentry background, had some hammers in the back shed there that they got into. I don't know. You'll have to use your imagination. But the point is that they did something that was extraordinary that day. They did something that was uncommon, and they did something that was inconvenient. Say that with me, inconvenient. It wasn't easy to get up. Well, first, even before that, think, bringing this man, carrying him. We don't know how far they had to bring that man. That was requiring a persistence and an inconvenience on their part. Then they get to this place where Jesus was. The crowd is so thick. It wasn't an easy task. But they didn't give up. They didn't quit on this man. They didn't quit on him. And I don't want to be a quitter on people. When people that I see around me are suffering and they're hurting and they need the Jesus that I have, and I know that he's the miracle worker, and I know that he's the life giver, and I know he's the Savior, and I know he's the Redeemer. When times get tough, I don't want to be a quitter. I want to be one like these men that persists and continues and goes and does what's beyond the call of duty to get them to where Jesus can do a miracle in their life. I wish I could get an amen today. Praise God. And so they broke that roof open. They probably had to find some ropes and carefully lower him down. They took a risk that day. How many of you know that man could have easily been dropped or hurt? They had to get him up onto the roof, break a hole in the roof, and lower him down through the roof. It was not an easy task. It was not convenient. But it was exactly what that man needed. Those four men worked with God that day. And I want to be a worker with God, don't you? When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." I want to draw your attention to the fact that Jesus didn't direct himself to the apparent need. The apparent need, the obvious need that that man had was to be healed of paralysis. That was the obvious need. And yet Jesus didn't address that need right off the bat. The first thing that Jesus saw was what nobody else saw. Nobody else noticed. He talked about the root of the problem, which is the thing we call sin. And he said to that man, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And of course, then the scribes began to reason and complain, and Jesus directed himself to that. But I want you to realize that Jesus saw something that nobody else saw. Now, we are born again. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you've been born again. His Spirit lives inside of you. And you can see what Jesus sees. His heart is now your heart. Do you believe it? His impulses are now your impulses. His desires are your desires. And his insights are your insights. So as his Spirit lives in you, you can see in the lives of people all around you the thing that nobody else sees. And you can make it right through the power of Jesus Christ. Who knows how many people walked by that man, maybe on the way to go to where Jesus was. Plenty of people in that city that maybe knew that man, and yet they just walked right past him, thinking possibly about their own need, thinking about how they wanted to get to where Jesus was, and just left him in his condition and his sickness and his suffering. But four men saw what everyone else passed by. And then Jesus saw what nobody saw. These four men, they at least saw that he was hurting, but Jesus knew the reason. So many times we try to band-aid symptoms, and Jesus goes right to the heart of the matter. I pray that we would have eyes like Jesus has to see what nobody sees, to see the hurts of people. I was talking with one of my missionary friends at the conference. He's worked in Mexico for years. He's really more of a Mexican. I don't know, do you know Greg Wood? Yeah, Greg Wood, wonderful, humble man. And they've got a children's home they've just recently started, and he said they've only got one of what they call hardship cases, which is more financially driven. He said all the other children that they have in their custody are abuse cases. And he said that there's one particular girl that I believe she's about 12, 13 years old. And he said the things that she suffered from her own father were just so corrupt and unbelievable that they just would make your head spin. And this girl came broken, just shielding herself. He would, the missionary calls all the kids hijo, hija, son or daughter. And she told him, don't call me daughter. Don't call me daughter, because that made her think about her daddy that had been abusive to her. Things that would just be unsavory to even mention. But God's beginning to work in that young girl. And now she's starting to allow him to call her daughter. And she even called him papa, daddy. So these are things that God takes the broken, if we'll just take the time. Think about the story of the Good Samaritan. I hope I'm making sense today. I don't have a tidy message with 3 points that rhyme. I have those messages too, but really I just want to talk from the heart of God today. Let Jesus stir us up with compassion. You know, the Good Samaritan, we remember him, and he's praised. He gets the accolades in that story. And we, you know, throughout all the generations of Christianity, we think of that man as an example of what we are to be. And the reason that we remember him is because he did something that the other two didn't do, something that they could have done, but they did not do, and that was that he stopped. He allowed himself to be inconvenienced, something that many of us in our busyness, you know, I'm sure the priest and the Levite, maybe they weren't bad people, I don't know. Maybe they were just too busy. Maybe they were just too distracted to stop. Maybe they felt like their business was too important to slow down for, and maybe they were even trying to get to Jerusalem to serve God. Maybe they wanted to do something really big for God and totally missed the opportunity to really serve God. The thing that God wants from all of us more than anything else is for us to love people for him, to lift people for him, to heal people for him, to restore them for him. And so I think that one of the biggest tricks of the enemy is to get us distracted. Distracted by the cares of our own life, by our own anxieties, by our own ambitions, by our own plans and things that we have to do. That we would focus on ourselves more and more and not notice those around us. See, everything about Christianity, everything that Christ taught us, is others focused. It's God first, right? Others, and then self last. Jesus' message probably wasn't very popular, and you don't hear many people preaching about it, but he taught us to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow after him. He said, if any man would come after me, deny himself or herself, take up their cross daily and follow me. That's what Jesus is calling us to. And he said, the one that tries to save their own life, watch out for their own. How many of you have been a person like that in the past, before you knew Christ, that you were just looking after your own self, trying to protect your own bottom line, trying to keep your own life secure and protect it and make sure that nobody could invade that or take your hard-earned money or take your resources, or self-centered? Jesus said that when we're like that, that we'll lose our life. But those that give up their life, that sow their life into others, those that sow their life into eternal things, that they'll find true life, the real kind of life. I want to go over to John chapter 4. And this is a very well-known story. The woman at the well. And again, I think of of Jesus, and it says in this passage, we won't read all of it because time doesn't allow, but it tells us that he was tired. He was weary. He had a physical body that got tired like yours does and mine does, thirsty, hungry, all of those things that we deal with. And he was sitting at the side of the well, and this woman came, and Jesus saw her need. He could see what others maybe didn't see. Others saw her symptoms. They saw that she was running around with people, and she was bad company. They noticed that she was an unfaithful woman. They noticed that she was disreputable. They saw all the outside stuff, but they didn't know the heart of the matter. And Jesus saw what nobody else saw. And it wasn't at the convenient time. It wasn't when he was all, you know, quote unquote, prayed up or really feeling the anointing heavy on him. He probably felt a little more Jesus than Christ that day. He was in his humanity. He was tired. And he just sat down for a rest. And yet when that woman came up, the love of God in him reached out to her and found her and read her mail, so to speak. And you know the story. And in verse 26, Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." I am that Savior. I am that Messiah. And it says at this point, his disciples came. They were off buying food. They marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the man, "Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out, they went out of the city, came to him. The disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." See, everybody's looking for fulfillment. There's not a person in this place that doesn't gravitate toward pleasure and avoid pain. That's just human nature. And that's not all bad. That can certainly go in the wrong direction, but that's part of the way God made us. Jesus was tired that day. He was hungry, but he focused on someone in need that came across his path. He saw, he noticed what nobody else noticed. And he said to those disciples, and he's saying to you and me, that there's a food to partake of. There's something that will fulfill you. He said, "You guys don't even know what it is, but he's revealed it to you and I now." We know what he's talking about now. That impulse to reach people for God that he had, that's been given to us, that as the Father sent him, he's now sent us. We've got a satisfaction that you can't replace with anything else. And the world's, everything that the world is chasing after and running after willy-nilly. I don't know if that's good English, but you know what I mean. They're just obsessed with these things. And they'll just pay an ungodly price to get it. They're just clamoring for success and running full bore toward ambition and trying to get to the top and pull anybody down, climb, scratch, bite, all the way to the top. And then they find out when they get there, they're empty and they're unfulfilled and their life has no meaning. But Jesus is offering us a better way. He's saying, if you'll deny yourself and just take up your cross and follow me. If you'll just love people like I love people. See, the same passion, the same fervor, the same love that drove Jesus to the cross is what drives you and me to the lost. And if we don't have that drive within us, then let's turn in repentance. Let's come to the feet of Jesus. Let's let his heart speak into our heart and drive out that self-centeredness and let us be Christ-centered people. Amen. We can do it. He said, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." And then in verse 34, he says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look He's calling us to attention. He's saying, it's not far off. It's right around you every day. People that are hurting and they're suffering and they're lost. We've got a society today. You don't have to travel to India or Timbuktu or off to Africa to find people that are suffering in their sin. You can find them right outside the doors of this church. You live with them every day of your life. So do I. They're surrounding us. They won't come up maybe and tell you what's wrong. They might not even know what's wrong with their life. But Jesus will give you his eyes. Just stretch up your hands with me. Father, we ask you to give us the eyes of Jesus today. Oh, Lord, take the cloudiness off, all this distraction, Lord, of the hour, all the noise in our society, the saturation of information that just distracts us and we don't see reality. We want to see reality. We want to see truth. We want to see the spiritual insight that you have. We want to have eyes that pierce through the veil of the temporal, and we can see the condition of people, and we can feel the heart of God, and we can know who we are in Christ, and we can know that he's never changed, and he's the same in us today as he was in the Bible. Father, we ask you to open our eyes and let us see. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. He said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. He says, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Ready. They're already ready to be harvested. And he who reaps receives wages. See, there is a promise of reward for those that are about the Father's business. There is a promise, an eternal reward, an eternal benefit, an eternal value when you and I pursue the things of God. I'm not yelling at you this morning. I'm very full this morning. And I'm talking to myself too. I want us to be lifted up, each of us, to a new level of ministry, a new level of service. Each of us are called to serve. We're going to have a wonderful opportunity as a local church leading up to Hallelujah Night. Not just the night of, but everything leading up to that. What an opportunity to serve. What an opportunity. And we're not just giving out candy to keep the dentists in business. Praise God. We're not just handing out candy and playing games. We're giving out eternal life to people that are coming. You don't know the abuses that some of these kids are suffering. You don't know the broken home. This is not. See, I came from a home where I was protected. Maybe you came from a home like that. I hope you did. I hope you did. That's God's will for people. But I was sheltered. I couldn't imagine some of the things that kids endure, children. See, only the devil could do the things that are happening right in our neighborhoods, right in our society, not in some far-off place. People that are broken, and the enemy just running over them, trampling them down. And we've got the answer. See, when I look at the news and I hear about the atrocities that are happening around the world and right here in our own country, and it just breaks my heart, and it has to move us. I pray that, see, if our eyes are dry too often, our heart's probably dry. We need to find our way to the altar. We need to find our, find our way to the feet of Jesus and let him work some of his heart into us. Because you can't stand indifferent before the things that the enemy does. And I have the answer. You have the answer. Excuse me. We have the answer for our world. And Jesus didn't call any of us to just sit by idly and let the enemy have his way with people. We are redeemers with Christ. We're people lifters. we're saviors in the sense that we're rescuing them and taking them to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to share a story with you. This is something I thought would interest you. We were ministering several years ago in Honduras. And there was a man named Juan in that fairly large group of people. There was close to 2,000 people there, and we were preaching Jesus, and I presented the gospel in such a simple way that even a child could understand it. And Juan was there suffering from diabetes. That man, people told me later that knew him, that he was just a bitter man, an angry man, and I don't know exactly what all contributed to that. But Juan had suffered from severe diabetes for about 20 years. It was so bad that he was having to administer injections into his abdomen on a daily basis. The pain and the complications were excruciating. He had watched his own mother die from that disease and then was diagnosed with it. His life was slipping away from him. He had no hope. His marriage was destroyed. His wife served the Lord, but he just wouldn't give his heart to Jesus. He'd even considered suicide to alleviate all of that. But he found himself somehow or another, I don't know how it happened, but we know who made it happen. But he was there in that meeting. And as the gospel went forth, he said that he accepted Jesus and he turned in repentance. And without even, who knows how these things happen, but from that day, he never had to take another injection again. His diabetes was completely healed, instantaneously healed from a very grave condition, very advanced case to nothing at all. Totally reversed, totally healed by the power of Jesus Christ. And I got this yesterday from Juan. I've got an email I'm going to read to you. I'm going to translate it on the fly here from Spanish. But I thought this would encourage you. This man, after, and we've met him since this conversion, just a dramatic conversion that he had. He has had a restored marriage. His body, as I said, was totally healed. He went from being a bitter, angry man. Now when you see him, he comes up, his smile goes from one ear to the other. He is a faithful witness of Jesus. He was going up into these very remote regions where they have native tribes, and he was out there giving of his own resources, food and clothing to these people, preaching Jesus to them. He was out in the hospital, he and his wife. He talks about that in his note here, that they're out ministering in the hospitals, and the hospital staff in the diabetes department or clinic there, they said, we don't have enough resources to help all the people that need help with diabetes. But they were hearing of cases of people being miraculously healed through Juan's ministry, and they said, you come in here, please help us. Please pray for these people. And they've been seeing miracle after miracle. He says, Michael, I greet you from a distance. It's my desire that the Almighty would continue adding blessing until it's overflowing and that you'd open a way to wherever the Father would send you. He said, the Lord has permitted me already to visit the district of Progreso Lloro. It's an area down there in Honduras. He said, there are already men that are converted to Christ. I go every Sunday, and others are being added to them, to their number. The work in the hospital with the diabetics is continuing three times every week, and we've been able to see the glory of God bringing salvation, healing, restoration. I've had also the opportunity to visit some schools presenting the gospel. Think about that. He's going right into the schools. They'll allow that there. I wish we had as much sense here in America that they have there. That in the school, he's allowed to go through video ministry, video projections that he does, where more than 200 children receive the message of salvation. And that's from this guy that If you'd seen him 3 or 4 years ago, his life was literally on the rocks. Totally restored, healed. Not just in a body, but in his heart. He was healed by the power of Jesus Christ. And it was just somebody going and telling him that Jesus loved him and making the gospel clear to him. Does that encourage you today? So Jesus, again in John chapter 4, I want you to know there's a wage, a reward, a recompense, that nothing that you do for Christ is in vain. I want to encourage you that you would not grow weary in doing good, like it says in Galatians 6:9, that we would not grow weary or tired or give up doing good to people, because there is a reward, there is a harvest if we don't give up, if we don't faint, if we don't quit. The enemy would like to get us distracted. He'd like to get us focused on ourselves. He'd like us to feel like our God is small and like we are the ones that are lost and need to be found, when the truth of the matter is we've got the best thing. We've got the thing that the whole world is looking for. We've got the thing that everybody on this planet needs. We've got that thing that Jesus talked about, that food that they don't know anything about. But we've got it, and we can give it to them, and it'll fill them up, and they'll be made new. They'll be made whole if we can just get Jesus to them. Praise God. He said, for this saying, in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. And I know that in the context he's talking about, you know, generations of faith-filled people that were preparing for and pointing the way to his coming. But I want to talk to you from the perspective that Jesus did the labor. He did the labor that you and I couldn't do to save people. And now he's just sending us to reap the reward of his labor. And think about that you and I have the purpose and the privilege to be co-laborers with God. I pray that your witness would be stronger than it's ever been. I pray that your boldness would increase more and more. I pray that right now as you're sitting here and as you allow the Lord to speak to you, let's bow our heads once again. Father, I thank you that you're speaking to us. And Lord, as you do, I know that you're calling us to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, that you're leading us to follow the example of our master, that we did not come to be served, but to serve and to give our lives so that many could be rescued. Father, I pray that you'd cause an awakening to happen in us, each of us, in me and each of my brothers, each of my sisters here today. Father, and I even include your church all over this nation. Lord, let a stirring happen in us, Father, that we would wake up out of our stupor, wake up out of complacency, wake up out of laxity and slackness. And Father, let us love people like you love, passionately. Let us believe in people like you believe in them. Help us not to just walk by like so many that were at that gathering when you were in the house, so many in that multitude that walked right by that man, but the four, let us be one of the four that sees the need and brings that person to Jesus. Let us see with your eyes, like you saw that day, beyond the exterior, beyond the symptoms, and you went to the heart of the matter. You saw that man needed to be redeemed. He needed to receive forgiveness of his sins. He needed to be restored from the inside out. Help us to have your eyes. Help us to love like you loved. In the name of Jesus.